This is the Puppy Training Podcast, episode 130, Dancing with Dig. This podcast is designed to help you on your journey of becoming best friends through love and learning as you train your own dog from home. And I'm here to help you every step of the way. This is the Puppy Training Podcast, and I'm your host, Amy Jensen. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Puppy Training Podcast today. I'm very excited about our topic. It's kind of a fun new adventure that we're talking about today. So I have one of my clients here with me. Her name's Juliet, and she's just had a fun story, and I asked her to join me today to share it with us. So welcome, Juliet, to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for the introduction. My name is Juliet, and I am a longtime client of Amy's. I've been listening to this podcast for 2 years, so quite an honor to be on it. But yeah, I'm a mom of three. We got Diggory 2 years ago. Diggory is our old English sheepdog poodle mix, and he is our COVID dog. And I found Baxter and Bella, fortunately, before we found Diggory.
That's awesome. Well, I know we've worked with you for a while, and I've just been so amazed at your progress and excited about it, because one of the things that Juliet does with Diggory is they dance. So we're going to dive into that a little bit today. But before we do that, I just want to know what your training experience has been like overall.
Okay. Well, I'm not new to dog ownership, but Diggory is my first dog that I've raised as a puppy completely on my own as an adult. We used to have dogs when I was growing up as a child. And I just always was the one. I have a family of three older brothers, so a family of four, and I was the youngest, but I was always the one out on the back patio figuring out what I could get the dog to do, really just shooting blind. I really enjoyed that, working with an animal. And I remember just being interested in the dog space, and finding Amy was a real blessing, because I love the way that you take training and you make it so... you make it very easy to follow, and you put it, you know, I don't know if you would use the word as systems, but you make it into systems that make sense, and that you can find a way to work these systems in within your life, which was really necessary for us having three kids and homeschooling during COVID. And we just wanted a really well-behaved dog. So we started listening, and I kind of did everything. I'm a real rule follower.
Me too. That's probably why we get along so well. I love lists and I love organization. So I'm glad that it worked out for you. You mentioned you have three children at home, right?
Yeah.
So what is your favorite part of having a dog in your home currently?
Oh man. I mean, one of the best goals that you gave us was to think about what you want your dog to do instead of what you don't want your dog to do. And I wanted him to be calm around our family. And so that was something I could, when we got Diggory, Jude was 1.5. So not quite at the point to be able to participate. He was a great trigger though. So we had that built-in trigger. Audra was 5 and Tad was 7. And we just said, we could enlist them to help and say, anytime you see Diggory in a down, calmly walk up to him and drop a treat. I think on one of your podcasts, you said dogs will just start to think, wow, it's really cool if I lay down. Kibble falls from the sky. And so that is a behavior that Diggory really offers regardless of the environment of our home, which is rarely calm. And it's just one of my favorite things, that my kids can be in a flurry of activity and literally can be running around him, and he'll kind of just be laying down, kind of waiting for somebody to come drop him a treat. And my kids, especially my oldest son, really connects physically with Diggory. And so anytime, he gets down and sits next to him, puts his hands through his fur. And I just love that with your program and your expertise, we've been able to cultivate a relationship where Tad can do that and the dog can accept it without being mouthy, without initiating into a wrestle match. He's not perfect. I mean, certainly sometimes Tad can push the limit and then Diggory's like game for it. But that's been one of our favorite things, is that he just is kind of goes to that auto down. And for those of you listening who are like, what's an auto down? It just means the dog will come in and lay down automatically without being asked.
Yeah. We stress that a lot in our program, is getting these dogs to do things automatically so that we're not always saying, do this, do that. That can be exhausting, especially for a mom with kids. I have three kids myself. And so I find the more my dog can auto manage themselves, the better, right? The easier it is for everyone in the home.
Mm-hmm. And my daughter Audra has a bit more of a quiet spirit than my son Tad. And so she'll just walk up to Diggory and he'll be standing on all fours, and then he'll sit And she's just able to kind of get next to his shoulder and pet him. And I see them relating that way together a lot. And that came from the first behavior we were teaching or shaping, that if you're near a kid or standing next to a kid and nobody's doing anything, sit down and you're going to get a treat. And so he's definitely got those programmed, and he's certainly not a perfect dog. And since in social, you know, that I don't want to give that picture, because if somebody out there is a rule follower listening, they're like, oh my goodness, my dog's, you know, that's not the message I'm trying to set. He's a well-rounded dog. So we have our challenges with them, but these are some of the beautiful parts of it too.
Yeah. I love that you're sharing the reality. I mean, that's how it is with a dog, right? Some days are good, especially with a puppy. Some days are good. Some days are chaotic, but you just keep on that focus of what do I want them to do? What do I want this to look like? And as you mentioned, reward them for doing that. And they start to choose that more often, and it evolves into a more beautiful space. But yeah, we have Baxter here, and he's almost two, and he's a good dog too. And like I said, or like you mentioned with social media, it's easy to just highlight all the good moments, but yeah, he can get a little rowdy if he wants to be rowdy. You know, it's, we can use our voice and our body to get him pretty excited and rambunctious. But then on the other side of it, he knows how to just, like you said, snuggle up with my kids. They've had a long day at school. He loves to just jump in their laps. He's 50 pounds. He thinks he's a lap dog, but you know, my kids adore it, and they just decompress from their day at school. So we just love having a dog in our home as well.
You posted recently about challenges that you have with Baxter, and I thought that was such a smart and caring post to put out there so that people could see, even you who have accomplished so much. I mean, you train service dogs and you have this incredible company, that you were able to let people in a little and be like, it's not all roses. I mean, because they're not robots. And yeah, if we can, in another podcast you had, oh my gosh, people are going to think I'm such a dork. I know all your podcasts.
It's okay that you're nerding out on my podcast. I love it.
Yeah, I'm a dog dork. Just get comfortable with it, and this whole thing will go more smoothly. But you mentioned managing realistic expectations. And that is so true for all of life, you know, but especially welcoming a puppy into your home.
Agreed. Well, I love that you've started dancing with Dig. Do you want to explain a little bit about how you got into that?
Sure, sure. I think it all started with, I mean, obviously a dog just needs to get out in the backyard and have some structured time. And so we have three children. My husband is just such an incredible partner that, like, he's not a huge dog guy. And so, like, he would be doing breakfast for the kids. And I'd be like, oh, this is a time before he goes to work that I can get in 15 minutes of working in the backyard with Diggory. And I didn't give Diggory enough credit. I thought treats were the highway, you know, the highway to the payday, the expressway to good behavior with dogs. But he would really lose interest after a while, even with really high value liver treats, that sort of thing, almond butter. I mean, to an extent, but then it would kind of peter off. And so when we'd be playing in the backyard and we'd be doing fetch, we created a behavior we wanted that he always had to sit before somebody threw the ball for him, because that's just us being proactive. We have three children. One's 1.5. You cannot run up to us with a ball. So it's going to sit. And so then I started to think, well, what else could he do while he's waiting for fetch? And so I would string little behaviors together. And then I thought to myself, he really does not get tired of playing to work. He gets tired of treats. And so I thought, oh, wow, what if we started building new behaviors onto this? And so it started that he would be running back to me, and then he would bow. He would be running back to me. He'd come under our legs. He'd be running back to me, and I was teaching him to kind of weave through my legs. And it started to feel very kinetic. It started to feel like a dance. And I called my husband out, and I said, honey, you have to watch this. He, like, gets so excited to come back and get in the heel position and start our quote-unquote routine, which I have some experience as an actor. And so I would never call myself a dancer, but this dancing with Diggs has evolved, because it was a real, you know, at the risk of sounding idealistic, it was starting to be a real collaboration where he would come running up and he was game to, like, get in that heel position and start, where we would just start walking, he would weave, then we would turn, we would jump, we would bow. And it was like, we were dancing together, regardless whether somebody could look at it and think it was dancing or not. That remains to be seen.
Well, I love that you mentioned that you moved into life rewards with Dig, because yeah, we oftentimes, like you said, start with food, because food is simple. Most dogs love food. So we start there. Then yeah, we phase that training into finding other things that motivate them, right? And for Dig, it happened to be toys. That's awesome.
Yes. Specifically a fuzzy tennis ball. He doesn't like the rubber ones as much. So funny how they have preferences, right? And for fetch more than frisbee. He does really like tug, but if there was a priority for him, it would be fetch with a fuzzy kind of ball and then tug. And he'll do a little frisbee, but yes. And I thought
Go ahead.
I started to recognize that, you know, as we were starting to move into more high level trick behavior, that it was so important to have that sort of enthusiastic engagement that he was offering with the play. Because at that point, I mean, there's only so much a trainer can do. You really have to have the willingness of the dog and you have to have his brain working because they're really smart. And I definitely have learned from Degree, like, oh, he's not going to get to it this way. He's going to get to it this way. And if I can be a little sensitive and flexible to that and shift my idea, it's like, but I don't think we would even get that far if I didn't have that enthusiasm and that engagement.
I love that point. As a relationship-based trainer, we talk a lot about watching your dog and figuring out what motivates them, right? And what they mm-hmm. want to do naturally. And you see that as we've brought lots of puppies in to train them and you know, send them off on their jobs. We've had to redirect their or reassign them, if you will, on their job sometimes mm-hmm. because of the things that they just naturally gravitate towards. And like you mentioned, once you find that, it is easier to train them to do things because they naturally just want to do it. They love it.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about teaching Degree a rebound because I'd seen other trainers do that. And I thought that would bring a really nice movement picture with him jumping in the air and changing directions, but using my body as kind of, you know, jumps on and then pushes off all in one motion. Degree wasn't comfortable with it. And I think I said we started about 10 days ago. So it still could be that we grow into it, but I wasn't comfortable either. It hurt. he's over 65 pounds. And I could see him putting it together like, I'm never allowed to put my paws on people. Like, what is this madness? All of a sudden you want me to, you know, do that. And so we were out in the backyard just doing one of our work sessions where he was really engaged and with me. And I did the, you know, cause we had been working inside with the movement and I thought maybe I'll throw it out outside where he's really engaged and loves that we're doing this play. And just out of nowhere, he just jumped and did a 360 jump. And it was like, oh, like he was like, I don't want to do that, but I can do this. I get the sense that you want me to jump and turn. You want me to be on you, which seems. And so it was just very interesting because we had never taught a jump and a turn or anything like that. We've done turns on the ground and just a straightforward leap in the air, or leap over me. And I was so proud of him. I was like, hey, that'll do. That's great. You know, and it was like, it's now every time I do the movement, I just changed it slightly just in case I do want to go back to building that classic rebound. And I mean, that was all him. And I felt like it was his way of communicating. I want to please you. I can do this. Is this it? And I was able to really reward that. Hey, we can work with that. And so he left that training session, and as did I, like feeling like, oh, we're moving forward. We were moving exactly in the direction I thought. But we are moving forward and he still is coming back to the starting line, eager to keep going. So that felt like a real win.
Yeah, that flexibility that you're allowing, I think, adds to the enjoyment of training. At least for me, it does. Just being more flexible, not so rigid in, like you mentioned, this is what I want to have happen. And then being frustrated because my expectation isn't met. Instead, it's a partnership, right? And I'm watching my dog and seeing what is he willing to offer me. And he offered you something pretty cool. So I mm-hmm. love that you have that flexibility built into it.
Mm-hmm. Flexibility is so, becoming a dog owner after being a mom made me really realize how inflexible I can be. And it was really eye-opening when we got Degree as a puppy. I was like, wow, I really want things to be right the first time. And if they're not, I can be very frustrated and irritable. And it was a big learning experience with the dog, because with the dog, you realize immediately this is not going to work. And then so I was able to look back and see where with my own children, I might not have been as graceful or as loving or as allowing them to be flawed. And, you know, and so it was a big moment for our family. And my husband was like, wow, get a puppy, you know, you learn all these huge life lessons. We make a joke about it, but it was serious.
Well, I agree. They teach me so many life lessons. It's the same at our house. We appreciate what we learn from the dog. And man, they teach us a lot of good life lessons. They're great examples. Mm-hmm. If someone wanted to get started in dancing with their dog or teaching them some dance steps, if you will, what would you recommend? Like, which behavior would you teach first and why?
Okay. Three-part answer. going to be try to be very succinct. Certainly find out what currency your dog is willing to work with the most. So you talk about what are you reinforcers, what are they called? Treats. If it's treats for your dog, make sure you have those ready. If it's play, make sure you're just ready with that mindset. But the hand target was the big one for us because I wanted to teach him how to weave through my legs. And you, at the beginning of your puppy training and beginning of obedience, you taught us is like what a puppy is running towards you. Teach him that if he would put his snout on your hand with a closed mouth, then he'll get a treat because then he won't jump up at you and you can put him in a seat, sit. So we learned that hand target early on. And then when I learned I wanted him to weave through my legs, kind of if you could imagine me standing with my legs a little wider than shoulder distance apart, if I wanted him to figure eight through there, how could I do that? I could put a hand target behind my legs. And then when he came out the back, I put a hand target in front of my legs. And so there's just the reinforcing, like he knows, oh, there's her hand, touch it with the nose, I'll get a treat. And so pretty soon I was able to drop the treat at all. And now I'm able to drop the lure at all. And it's just weave. And he knows that I want him to get his body in and through there. The third point, so there's currency, hand target, and the heel position, which can sound very intimidating to a new dog owner, but let's just talk about the very basic heel position of just him being very happy at his shoulder to your left hip. You know, when you get out of a routine and then you're like, all right, heel, he knows, come back, get his shoulder next to me. I have his attention. And so then I'm able to then take my hand target and we go to leaps, we go to back to weave, we go to turn. And I've got him right back where I want him, attention on me, kind of at that starting line. He is very, very engaged. And I think that, you know, I'm still learning how to capture that engagement for more, quote unquote, boring obedience behaviors, like when we're out. But he definitely is a willing participant.
That's so fun. I want everyone to be able to find you if they want to go watch this, because it is pretty fun to see them together, both Julia and Diggory working together. So where can people find you? Where can they follow you?
Yeah, we're on Instagram. It's pretty straightforward. Dancing with Dig, D-I-G. His full name is Diggory, and that's from the Chronicles of Narnia. But so Dancing with Dig, and we're working on some new behaviors now, and just, it's fun because we're just stringing them together and then finding something new and putting them in different orders. And I love it.
I want to thank you, Juliet, for being here today. You're so motivating. And I think it's an awesome story. So thank you for sharing it with my clients and listeners. It's just a pleasure knowing you. And it's been super fun to watch you and Dig progress.
Thank you so much. We just so appreciate what you do here at Baxter and Bell. I really do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Again, thanks for being here today. You guys go check out Julia and Dig at Dancing with Dig on Instagram. It is a treat to watch. It's super fun to see this duo work together. You can see Dig's enthusiasm for the dancing. And again, just a joy to watch. So have a great week. Happy training. I'll talk to you soon. If you have a question about anything you heard on this podcast or any other puppy training question, visit my site, baxterandbella.com, to contact me.